And welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grand, broadcasting live, Firefall Talk Radio's on Spreaker.com. We get back to basics, examining the Word of God, taking a look at the Book of Acts Church. Porch Online Bible Study is here to consider how the early church served the Lord and to restore the priesthood of the believer. Hopefully you want to be a part of that and obtain that world-shaking influence the early church had. We do that by digging deeper into Scripture, and I believe that when we do that, we find the church the Lord intended and not the one that man created. Church age is still in effect. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc., on solomonsport.org if you want to contact us. If you have any questions, please visit the site, or you can reach us at firefalltalkradio.com. Make sure you bookmark the Spreaker site. Feel free to share them, download them, pass them around. I appreciate also our Blog Talk listeners, where we have had our files archived for over 7 years now, our iTunes listeners, and iHeartRadio. Sunday night, Reflections in the Dark, 7 p.m., we talk about the supernatural, the paranormal, and things that pertain to end-time prophecy. So if you're interested in that, you should check it out if you haven't already done it. If you don't already know, today is the summer solstice. It's the longest day of the year. It's also a pagan high holy day. If you don't know about it, look it up. You should understand how important this day is to the people that believe in those things. Starting out with praise reports and prayer requests, well, as always, I get to go first. I praise the Lord for this home, the ability to do this in this home. Praise Him for my lovely wife and all the years that we have been together, and she has put up with my calling. It's not easy being married to me. I praise Him for my family, my sons, my daughter-in-law, and I'm believing someday soon my other son will get married and we will complete the family package. I'm not saying He has anybody in mind. I'm just praying for God to deliver that person. If you want to agree with that, go right ahead. Praise Him for my pets. We have two furry kids and all of our furry grandchildren. I praise Him for everything that He's given me. Everything we have is because of Him. Praise Him for this ministry. It's His. You'll never see my name on it. I praise Him for you, each and every one of you. Those that I've met, those that I have yet to meet, and those that maybe it'll take us being in paradise to bump into one another. I praise Him for the provision and the dreams and the visions. Everything He has shown me over the years, some of which I've been able to share with you, and you've been able to see it come to fruition. You've been able to hear things I've shared with the Lord come true, that the Lord has shared with me come true. I praise Him for healing and renewed vigor. I praise Him for all that for all of us. You know, I prayed for rain. We have rain, so I praise Him for that. Now I praise Him for the sunshine. It was sun today. No rain so far, and believe me, we'll dry out for a little bit, and mosquitoes will find somebody else to have their buffet on. My prayer is not just for me, but for all of us, for divine wholeness, health, and healing, me, my wife, my children, and all of you. Let's get back to our divine design. Let's break free of what this world and our upbringing has done to us, and let's walk and run and do all the things we need to do. Some of it by a beach. That would be nice. I pray for healing for all that are sick right now. Oh, and up and down the East Coast, I don't know about elsewhere, because of the nonstop rain, the mold, and the mildew, people like me who have allergies and sinus problems have been put through the wringer. But we will overcome and we will be healed, and I believe we're being healed even as I speak. I pray for protection. We live in a fallen world, but we are protected when we are hidden under the shadow of His wings. I pray for inspiration. I pray for the remnant to wake up. If you have friends and family and people that you know that are a part of the remnant that don't want to play religious games, first of all, direct them to the porch. But start praying for them to wake up. I pray that they would rise up, answer the call to action. And as always, I pray for those who can bless to be a blessing, and you would be blessed in return. Don't do it because you'll be blessed, but do it because you can. God is using you as a conduit of his blessing to those that have need. I pray for a prayer covering for SRT as we prepare for this upcoming mission in Atchison, Kansas, and that all the needs that we have for both the mission and for the documentary are met. You know, as we get closer, I have asked for international aerial support. You have reached out. I am going to be creating an online sign-up sheet for those who request it, and I will create a private registered forum for you to post in if you have ideas or things that you want to share. Maybe you want to get together with others and pray. You know, between Skype and all the ways, Facebook and all the different ways you can talk to somebody, we can get some serious prayer going. I pray that for this mission, what I've been calling Mission 2017, the beginning of the move of God in what we do upon the kingdom of darkness, set the captives free, to shine the light and expose the enemy. Let's destroy the work of the enemy. Let's set the captives free. Let's go find those lost sheep that have wandered off because no one was paying attention. Let's heal their wounds. Let's just love on them. And let's go rescue those that are in bondage. Firefall and SRT, we have equipment needs. I've created an Amazon wish list for this production. If you're interested in knowing what is there, because maybe you can't donate financially, but you might be able to purchase something, or you might have something that you can donate. This documentary is going to be a genre-changing, eye-opening, one-of-a-kind documentary. And if you want to be a part of that, you can go to thedeepdarkness.com. Three words, The Deep Darkness, all straight across, .com, or you can go to supernaturalresponse.net. You can write us, and you can let us know. Video promos for that, just so that you can get an idea of what we're doing, have been posted on Facebook, thedeepdarkness.com, and the SRT sites. Here we go. Nick in Dallas. He has a prayer request. He's asking for safe and pleasant trip home for his parents, sister, and her kids as they make their way home. Don't know from where, how long it is. So we pray for traveling mercies. Kate in PA. It's always good to hear from you, Kate. She said, first, I want to praise God for my husband and son. They are my joy. Praise God for my salvation. I praise the Lord for his provision. Every day that we are blessed with food and shelter is an amazing blessing. I praise him for your ministry and the truth you preach. I don't speak real well, but I can preach the truth. I ask for prayer for the following. She says, I have a back injury for the last 3 months. I've seen no improvement despite steroid treatment and lots of rest. The injury prohibits me from doing my job as a fitness instructor in a time when we really need the money. Please pray the doctors will finally recommend an MRI so we can get to the bottom of what is going on. Better than that, Kate, right now, in the name of Yeshua, in the name above all names, I pray that whatever is out of order in your vertebrae, whatever muscle is stuck, whatever nerve is pinched, I pray right now the Holy Spirit would just take that hot oil of the balm of Gilead, let it just drip down your spine and put everything in order and straighten you out and move those hips and align them. Whatever is causing this disruption in the skeletal structure to be restored. Said, we're moving into a new house next week, 60 miles from where they currently live. I know no one. It's going to be a shock to my son, who has lived with his grandparents for almost 5 years, and he's very close with them. Apparently, they live in the same house with her husband's parents. Please pray the move goes smoothly, and we begin to settle into our new routine. Pray we find a group of like-minded individuals there, too. Pray that our finances can stretch to cover all the things that go along with home ownership. Says, pray for my unsaved family. They struggle with unimaginable bondage, but are so hateful towards the gospel. Please, Lord, let the scales fall from their eyes. Father, wherever Kate's family are right now, just hit them. Hit them with your love. If you need to, send an angel. But Father, break the chains, soften their hearts, open their eyes, and bring them into the kingdom. Kim in Fort Mitchell says, thank you everyone for praying. When I listened to last week's show, the exact moment I listened to you praying amazing things started happening, things only God would know about that would get my attention and leave me speechless. I prayed for him to show me who I am, and he did. This is my praise report, and I praise him for all the other answered prayers for every Porch family member. I praise him for teaching me a lot about love and faith and fear and control. It's a daily choice, and only if I trust him fully and let go of my fears, I will be free. I'm asking for him to continue to teach me. I'm asking for protection over my family, my children, my husband, my mother. I'm asking him to guide me as I'm looking forward to ways to making extra money to help provide for my family. And I'm asking for favor for SRT and the Porch families in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We are your children. We are the family that you always wanted. And you are Abba, Papa, Daddy. So we praise you. You are awesome. You are amazing. And we love you. We thank you. We thank you for all that we have. We thank you for what you're going to send. We thank you for the ability to help and bless others. We thank you for the love that you've placed in our heart. We thank you for the cross, because without that, none of these other prayers would matter. We thank you for restoration and salvation, healing and deliverance, the infilling of the Spirit and all that goes with it, the gifts and the fruit. We thank you for Yeshua. Lord, there are no words that I can say to tell you how much I love you, but I know you know my heart. And I thank you. I thank you for loving me when I was unlovable, saving me when others thought I was unsavable, and giving back to me what the devil had tricked me into giving away. Now I ask you to do that for others. I pray for those that have that need of reconciliation, restoration. I pray, Lord, that you would plunder them from the kingdom of darkness and translate them into the kingdom, your kingdom of your love. I pray right now for those that need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to be hit by the fire of the upper room, to be changed. I thank you for what's coming, Lord. I thank you for coming back and getting us and everything that you've done. And in this time, as the darkness grows, that we shine brighter, that we glow in such a way that people would find their way to you. Bless this time. Bless the technology. We clear our minds. We open our hearts. We are ready to receive. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information except where noted, that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So if you were here last week, and if you weren't, where were you? We talked about Pentecost triggering the ripple effect in both the natural and the spiritual, that when the fire fell and they got filled with the Spirit in the upper room, the Holy Spirit simultaneously dispensed the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, and that the warfare against the powers of darkness shifted from man-made ritual to divine rule. And what I mentioned was, to do that, the church needed afterburner power for a new task, namely, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I explained that the afterburner is a device that injects fuel into the hot exhaust for an explosive extra thrust. And the fire of the Holy Spirit created fuel for the Book of Acts church and for us. Remember, it says in Acts 1:8, the Lord said that you will receive power, dunamis, explosive power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Well, that takes some thrust. That takes some fuel for that machine to do that, and we are the machine. So God empowered the disciples to be a faithful witness, even when they faced the most vehement, violent opposition. And that same power for witnessing is available and necessary to us today. Our task is not to convince people, but to testify of the truth. Remember, I told you many years ago, probably 20 years ago, now my wife gave me a t-shirt. It said, preach the gospel. Use words only if necessary. Well, we need to be that. We need to be that gospel machine, showing people the truth of the good news. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace being a fuel enhancer. Love for God, love for the Lord, love for one another, love for humanity. That gives us our direction, patience, kindness, goodness, and how we treat each other in service to the kingdom. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and how we serve the kingdom and control this new fiery machine. I mean, you just don't want to run right over people, and many people do. And the fuel needs to stay pure and not be watered down. You put water in fuel, and the machine's going to sputter out and die. The other thing is, if that engine revs too high or gets too hot, it burns out, and it damages the engine, sometimes permanently. It can't be fixed. So go with me to John 14, starting verse 26. New Living Translation, where the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. Verse 27 is what triggered this lesson today. It came to mind this morning. I'm leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. He's giving us his peace. Not worldly peace. This is different. You know, it was customary and still is among the Jews that when they say goodbye, to say shalom, meaning peace. See, he was about to depart. And this was his farewell, his my peace. And the word my is emphatic. My peace I give, not the peace of the world. That's not a conventional wish. This is personal from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a special grant, gift of peace. The peace that Messiah gives banishes fear and dread from the heart because he's in control of all circumstances. See, that's what the enemy does. The enemy tries to get you to believe that he's in control or that you're in control or that the world is in control when the truth is the Lord's in control. Nothing happens unless he allows it. And if he allows it, there's a reason in it. So his peace, this supernatural, divine dispensation of peace, is freedom. It's the freedom from disturbance. Whether it's outwardly, like he offered Israel as a nation, a peace from war, peace from enemies, or it's a peace for your soul. That word shalom, it means soundness, it means health. But it's also come to mean prosperity. well-being in general. Also about a good relationship with man and God. See, peace then, and should be now, was considered a blessing. Psalm 122:7, peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Matthew 10:13, the Lord said to the disciples, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. When we go someplace, we should bring his peace with us. And if the people are deserving, you should bless them and leave it. But if they're not, take it with you. That word shalom, that Hebrew greeting, is the spirit of Yeshua's work on earth. It is the reason that he did what he did, to restore relationship, to restore a priest, to restore humanity's relationship with God. I mean, that's what the prophet Isaiah repeats over and over, first in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, Isaiah says in chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Then again in verse 19 of chapter 57, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off, and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, the message is so overwhelmingly clear. While the enemy brought discord and chaos, he brings peace. And the resurrection and the Holy Spirit were instrumental in achieving this work. Let's just state it real clear. There is no peace without him. There's no peace without the Prince of Peace. He is peace. And therefore, the peace we need can only come from him. That moment when he was with the disciples on his way to the garden, on his way to being arrested, on his way to the scourging, on his way to the cross, he was in control. The events unfolding in Jerusalem that led to the cross were not in the control of HaSatan, the ruler of this world. Nope. It wasn't an accident. Yeshua was not a helpless victim. He was in control. He was obedient to God's plan. The message there is this, and listen to me, those of you that want to serve the Lord, want to be involved in spiritual warfare. In the midst of obedience, there is struggle, there is trouble, and there may be danger. If that's his plan, that's what will happen. The Lord warned us in John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That image of the world isn't just the natural world around us. It's the spiritual, supernatural world as well. And the God of this world hates you just as much as he hates the Lord, just as much as you, the image of the God that you're created in. Knowing who you are in him and knowing what I just said about the world that you stand in is key to this. I meet so many people that do not understand how this whole thing works. But something Yeshua says, that the God of this world, the King of this world, whatever you want to call him, he has nothing in me. Meaning, the enemy was coming. The enemy was approaching. He was coming to do what he was going to do. But Yeshua was in peace because Satan and the fallen had nothing. They owned no part of him. He was sinless. He yielded to what happened. Oh, maybe Satan, maybe the fallen angels, maybe their demonic offspring, they thought they were in control. If they had any common sense, they never would have gone through with the crucifixion. They had no power over him. He voluntarily yielded to death on the cross in loving obedience to his Abba Father. In John 12:31, he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." And of course, that is spiritually and supernaturally, not physically. That will come. And we will be spectators of that. I don't know if it'll be proper, but I'm going to clap and cheer and shout. Hopefully he won't give me that look over the shoulder, but I'm going to make a lot of noise when that guy goes down. Ephesians 2:2 says this. And I want to remind you of this. Maybe you don't think about it. Maybe you don't think about where you came from. I do. I know where I came from. And it always reminds me of how much the Lord has done for me. You once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's still, 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about that the minds that the God of this age has blinded, like some of the family members that you pray for, their minds are blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Yes, it's very frustrating when you're sharing with them this antidote to this fatal disease called death, and they don't want it. It's very frustrating when you're offering a living water that will change their life, and they don't want to take a sip. But remember, they can't see what you see. They don't know what you know. And at one point, you were just like them. But in John 14:30, when he says to them, "I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches." They didn't suddenly stop. Okay, if he's coming, we need to bind him. We need to pray. We need to call down. Nope. Yeshua says, "He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going." Don't have time for talk. It's time for action. The enemy is approaching. He's on the prowl. I know that. The Lord says, "I'm pressing on to the higher calling. I will do what I do out of agape love for my Father. Let's go." He had a race to finish. He had a job to do. Don't be distracted. Don't be dissuaded. Don't let the things of this world get to you. Don't let the people around you frustrate you. You have a race to run. You have a job to do. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Hey, let's face it. There are a lot of people that are preachers. I did that thing with my finger. Preachers. There are a lot of people that call themselves that. There are a lot of people that spout a lot of words, but they're disqualified. the witness is tainted. Eventually, the truth will come out. Every hidden thing gets revealed. And you realize that every word that came out of them, their mouth was a counterfeit. Though they spoke the truth, they did it with a tainted lips and unholy hands. The only way to do this, the only way to fulfill this call to preach the gospel, to go into all the world, to set the captives free, is if we abide in him. See, in John 15, verses 4 and 5, he gives us the formula. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That's what abide means. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. But a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you abide, unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I've seen a whole lot of nothing over 28 plus years. I've seen a whole lot of people that were not attached to the vine, that were trying to produce their own fruit, their own sap, for their own reasons, in their own vineyard. I've seen people fooled into going there thinking that I'm going to get fruit, and then they starved spiritually. That word abide is a word I've been teaching for 7 years on this show, The Porch. Remain. Continue, dwell. It's a verb meaning to stay. It is a choice. Stay in a given place. Stay in expectancy. Endure. Remain. Tarry. This is a command, not a suggestion. It's not a choice. It's a command to remain in him, to remain in Messiah. Maybe you struggle with this. Maybe you need to get up every day when you start your prayer and say, Lord, help me to abide in you. Holy Spirit, help me to abide in the Lord. If you're struggling with the walk, that might be where you need to focus. See, because the reason here is if you don't do it, you're not going to bear fruit. See, he's the vine. And how a vine works is the vine, the branches grow off of the vine. The vine provides that sap that goes to the branches that creates the fruit. Without the vine, you can do and are nothing. Unless you want to produce fake fruit. I don't know about you, but I grew up in an Italian household. And every Italian household I've ever been in have those fake fruit, fake grapes everywhere. You can't eat them. When they're brand new, they look real good. Later on, they fade and but they look real good. You couldn't eat them. They may look like fruit, but they're not fruit. Well, that's the way a lot of people are. They're fake fruit. And truly, the longer they do it, the longer they remain that way, the worse that fruit looks. He's the true vine, and we the believers are the branches, and we are powerless to produce any fruit unless we abide in him. Remember where this started. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are not natural things. Those are not things that you can do. Oh, people try. We have all of these gurus that tell you how to achieve these things through your own efforts, through their formula, through their plans. Buy this book. Get this DVD. But the truth is, that's not of him. Because the only peace, the Irene Greek peace, the state of quietness, rest, repose, harmony, order, and security in the midst of turmoil, strife, and temptations can only come from God. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah, Yeshua. This is the peace I'm talking about. The peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't pass you understanding. It doesn't give you understanding, though you may get understanding from it, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to be not of this world. It's not of this world. It's otherworldly. It's ethereal. It's unknown. But it's made known to us by God. And the purpose of it is, it'll guard your hearts and your minds. You remember where we started? The very first thing the Lord said, I have a gift for you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And it's a peace that the world can't give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, that's what this is all about. That's the peace that I want. I don't want the peace of the world. I don't want the peace of human things. Even in relationships, I can't have a good relationship unless the Lord is in it. I don't know, maybe I'm just me who thinks that way. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded, fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer. Well, how do you do that? You do that with otherworldly peace. You know, when I do what I do with SRT and I do for the kingdom of God over the last 28 plus years, confronting things that make most people's knees knock and their stomachs turn and make them want to run, I run towards. I don't run away because I have peace. I know who my daddy is. I know who my Abba is. I know who I serve. That's not a natural peace. That's a peace that I get from him. I trust him. I believe in him. I know that he is with me to do what I do because he has sent me to do it. I know that the prince of this world has no power over me in those situations. And even if he were to show up, though I don't think he would, he has his eyes on one prize and one prize alone, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, to be worshipped as God. But even if he were to show up, I would have no fear. Oh, I get it. I get who he is. I get how much power he has had. I get what he has done and where he has been in the throne room. But the spirit inside of me is what created him. The Lord that I serve is what spoke him into existence. And he knows that I know that. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. We talked about this last week. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That gets into he has nothing in me. The prince of this world, the God of this world has no ground in me. He has nothing in me. He has no ownership over me. You can't deal with the disobedience of the enemy if you are disobedient in your life. But we're going to cast down imagination. To do that, we're going to demolish all the theories, all the reasonings, all the high systems of ethics, religions, the mythology, the metaphysics, the doctrines or the philosophies that defy the knowledge of God, whether natural or scientific. We're going to cast down the imaginations and the boasting of all the gods, little g. I like throwing that in there, little g. All the lords, little l. All the sacrificial, the mediatorial systems that fell before the proclamation and the power of the gospel. All the high-sounding praises of Aristotle and Plato and the Stoics and the Gnostics and all the others, from the Kabbalists to the Orthodox Jews. As much as I love my Jewish brothers and sisters, as much as I love Israel, the fact is they don't hold the truth. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And unless they have him, unless they've been completed in Messiah, unless they fall under that category of a messianic Jew, they don't know the truth. Unless they know the crucified and risen Messiah. All of the pagan, they can celebrate the summer solstice. 13,000 people can gather at Stonehenge. They can worship the sun. They can worship whatever they want to worship. I worship the S-O-N, son. Because all those things shrink before the truth and the power of the gospel. And all the secular powers and demonic powers that defend it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, I'm giving the New Living Translation, stay alert. Come on, listen to me a second here, folks. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the adversary, the devil. He prowls, and not just he's not the only one. He prowls around like a roaring lion. But folks, let's get real. There's a pack of lions just like him. Looking for someone to devour, to tear apart with their teeth, to consume in chunks. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your believing brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Well, I know that doesn't preach well in most of the church. Oh, there's no suffering. I have complete victory. I can go anywhere. I can do anything. The enemy cannot touch me. Somebody said that to me recently. I said, how does that preach to all of our brothers and sisters around the world that are getting torn apart, heads cut off, tongues cut out, killed because they believe in Yeshua, because they believe in Jesus? We live in a fallen world, and there is a roaring lion seeking to devour, and he will try. But the fact is, we have peace in all situations. Let me give you the amplified version of that scripture as the thunder starts around me. I guess that prayer for no more rain didn't get answered. Whatever. This is the amplified of 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. And I'm not doing this to harp on spiritual warfare. No, I'm doing this to harp on living in a fallen world, in a fallen world system, and everything that hates you. As I said in Alabama, and I think I said it here weeks ago, the gospel came first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And after Calvary, after the cross, that order flipped. It went from the Gentiles accepting it first, and then getting raptured out of here eventually, and then to the Jew. But the fact is, the same torment, the same persecution that the Jews went through before, the church will go through now. We've been grafted into the same vine. You can't have their blessings without having the curses and the struggle. Be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the adversary, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in the faith, against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same, very identical, sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of believers throughout the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Messiah Yeshua, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish and ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion, the power, the authority, the rule forever and ever. Amen, which means so be it. You know, the roar of a lion can be heard from almost 5 miles away. And that roar is meant to put fear into you. The Lord reminded me of an experience I had one night. You know, we talk about these night terrors, these these events where these things will sit on your chest. You won't be able to speak. You won't be able to say the name of Jesus. And I've had multiple experiences of it over the years. First time it happened, I thought my wife was trying to wake me up, and I opened my eyes and I saw this little demonic imp, if you will, little troll-looking thing on my chest with his hands wrapped around my throat. And I couldn't speak and I couldn't move, and I began to shout the name of Jesus in my head, and eventually he popped and disappeared. And it happened periodically over the years. And the last time I had that particular experience, the same thing happened. One of them made a move, and I felt it. I opened my eyes, and I saw him above me, and I pushed myself through his hands, broke his grip, got nose to nose with him, and looked him straight in the eye. And he had the shocked look on his face with fear he left. But there was one experience the Lord reminded me of. Same kind of thing happened. I was laying in bed, and I could feel the shaking, and I kind of knew what it was. And I opened my eyes to respond, and there was this demonic spirit in my face. And picture this, I'm laying on my side, and I'm facing to my left, and this thing is in my face, and it starts screaming at me. And I went to turn away from him to gather my thoughts, and there was one on top of me, and there was one at the right of me, and they were screaming at me. And it's actually a tactic we use to disorient people when they're interrogating them and to create fear. And in the midst of this, I went to open my mouth to say the name of Jesus, and what came out was this roar, like the roar of a lion. I don't even know where it came from. It scared them and scared me. It scared me so much that I pulled back thinking, was that in anger? And then I reached out to my spiritual father, Pastor Shelley, and he goes, no, I believe that was the roar of the Lion of Judah at that moment. Sometimes we need that. I'm not saying to force it. I'm not saying to make it up. But sometimes when you open that mouth, his roar is going to come out. And they're not just going to hear it from 5 miles away. They're going to hear it throughout the entire spirit realm. And we're living in a time when the darkness is such, and our children are dying, and homes are being broken, and marriages are being attacked, and this world is going to heck in a handbasket. And I don't mean heck. You know what I mean. H-E double hockey sticks. And the darkness is so great that maybe in the spirit, maybe in prayer, maybe in praise, we need to let loose the roar of the Lion of Judah to shut up those other lions, and people will know where safety and protection is. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be awake. We need to be watchful. We need to never be off our guard and be ready at every moment to resist what the enemy is doing. Resist. Push back. You want to wrestle, Satan? You want to wrestle, fallen angels? You want to wrestle? Let's get it on. Because you're not wrestling with me. You're wrestling with the Lord that's inside of me. Because greater is he that is in me than you that are in the world. First Corinthians 16:13. Admonishes us, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Matthew 25:13, the Lord says, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Stay awake, don't fall asleep. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. Don't get distracted in the pleasures and the temptations. Watch. Colossians 4:2. I'm sorry, folks. I'm so jacked up right now by what I'm saying, I could run. Go look for some demon to cast out. Somebody to lay hands on, to heal. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you now for setting them free. I thank you for setting Kate's family free. I thank you for saving Kim's father. I mean, her mother and her husband and the father of her children. I thank you, Lord. Let's be vigilant as members of this community to pray and be thankful for the outcome. When we are all sons and daughters of the light and sons and daughters of the day, we don't belong to the night or the darkness. So then accordingly, let's not sleep and rest as others do, but let's keep wide awake, alert, watchful, cautious, on guard. And let us be sober, calm, collected. But see, this peace that I'm talking about, the peace that we need to do everything I've said, the peace that it takes just to get by, just to get through the day, when you look at your bank account and it's not what you need it to be, when you look at your situation, whatever it is, this peace, it's not natural. It's supernatural. Isaiah 26:3 tells us something we need to pay attention to. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You know what I find when I fret, when I worry, when I have no peace? My mind has strayed from him to my circumstances. My mind has strayed from him to what the enemy is doing, to what the world is doing. What's going on in politics? What does social media say? Lately, because of all the nonsense in the world, which nothing we're going to do is going to change that. The Lord has been speaking to me. Leave it alone. Stay focused on the assignment. Stay focused on the job. We're running out of time. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. The peace that Messiah brings us is spiritual peace that comes from him, comes from God through the Holy Spirit. It's peace in our heart. It's dispensed by the Spirit. Remember, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And what's really interesting about all that, and he kind of added this at the end, he didn't come to send peace on earth. Now think about that. He's the Prince of Peace. There can be no peace without him. But when he came the first time, he came looking for a fight. He came with the sword. He didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came with the sword, meaning the nature of his call was to make the divisions very clear. You look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God, which will lead to peace, starts out in war. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember when they came to arrest him? What's really interesting in Matthew 26, Peter, we learned later on it was Peter that cut off the ear of Malchus, servant of the high priest, and Yeshua said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. But then later on in Luke 22, we hear him tell them just before this happens. Now, when you place this in a chronological timeline, just before he does this, and I think Peter misunderstood what the Lord was saying, in Luke 22, 35 through 38, he says, when I sent you out to preach the gospel, the good news, you did not have money, traveler's bag or extra clothing. Did you need anything? No, they replied. He said, but now take your money and a traveler's bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. And they said, Lord, look, look, we have two swords among us. And he said, that's enough. But yet right after that, Peter draws the sword to stop the very thing the Lord was doing. This sword of the Spirit, this word of God, this thing that we wield to set the captives free, to cut the chains, to drive back the enemy, is for the kingdom and the kingdom alone. And there will be time when it'll be needed to protect. For them, it was wild beasts and the robbers that filled Judea. They were going to need to protect themselves. But it wasn't an offensive weapon, it was a defensive weapon. It was not to destroy, but to protect, and it's all a matter of the intention. It's all about the gospel, folks. It's not about anything else, any calling you think you have. If it's not the promotion of the gospel and the furthering of the kingdom of God, it's not a calling, it's a desire of what you think you want to do in place of doing what you're supposed to do. He instructed the disciples, you're going to need some money, you're going to need a knapsack, and you're going to need a sword. Because guess what? There's rejection coming. There's a war coming. But I'm giving you a supernatural peace. And I'm trusting you through the Holy Spirit to guide you to use that sword properly, but be prepared. Because the spirit of the gospel and of a believer is one of perfect peace through that same gospel. Some think they're going to make it their Christian duty to bring war to end and end all strife everywhere. Folks, get real. There'll be no peace without the Prince of Peace. When I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what I'm praying for is for the Lord to come back. There'll be no peace in the Middle East. There's no deal that they can make anywhere that's going to hasten what only He can bring. Only by the gospel. Only by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Leviticus 26:6, the promise to Israel and to us was, I'll give you peace in the land. You shall lie down and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of the evil beast and the sword will not go through your land. It's a peace that only He can bring. It comes from Him. It's empowered by Him. Father, in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names, I praise you right now for that peace. I praise you for that sword. I praise you for that gospel. I praise you for that calling. I praise you for what you did on the cross. I praise you that the tomb is empty. I praise you that the upper room's filled with fire. I praise you that that fire still falls and anybody who wants it can have it. I praise you, Father, for the afterburner of the fuel into the spirit so that we can go. Destroy what the enemy's doing. Set the captives free. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. The dead will be raised. I praise you for the open doors. I praise you for the provisions. But right now, for me and for my brothers and my sisters, my sons and my daughter-in-law, and for everybody who would listen, I praise you right now, Father, for the supernatural upper room, throne room, Holy Spirit, peace that we need to do everything you've called us to do. Peace in our homes, peace in our lives. I don't know about you, but the studio just filled with peace. The air just stopped. I want to live this way, Lord. I want to walk into Atchison, Kansas. I want to walk into that house. I want to confront these things in perfect peace because I know who my daddy is and I know why I'm there and I know what you've called me to do. I want to leave footprints of peace on the ground. I pray this, Lord. I pray this with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with everything that is in me. And I pray that you would give it to your sons and your daughters. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. And if you agree with me, just say amen. Supernatural, otherworldly peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.